Hello, everyone. I'm Andrew Lunzen, and I'm here with the Hawk Talk podcast, a student podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. We're in the Studio Q at North Campus today on March 9, 2023. On today's show, I have to my left Marlon Washington, in front of me Ken Shea Brown, and also in front of me Jordan Reddick. How are you guys today?
Man, I'm doing all right, brother. Doing I can't good. Complain.
Good, man. How doing about yourself, good. Man?
Pretty good, pretty good. Excited to do this podcast today. So we have a few topics coming at you guys today. So Marlon, what's the topic you're bringing to the table today?
You know, recently the combine just happened, and then there've been a lot of reviews and a lot of opinions about the O-line, D-line running a 40. And I've seen a couple of guys get hurt, and I don't really think they should run a 40 in my opinion, because they don't run full speed that long in a game. Mm-hmm. So I don't really think they should run a 40. And say how you feel about that coming from a D-line perspective.
I ain't gonna lie, I totally agree with you, man. We don't run no more than 5 yards in the game. Probably a good 10 to 20 if we chasing the ball down or it's an outside zone play or something. But, yeah, like me being a D-lineman, we don't run no more than 5 yards. So I prefer more short yardage like 5, 10, 5 and things like that, more suitable to us. And, you know, I don't like running anyway, so.
I mean, I don't necessarily, like, disagree with it because it was kind of interesting if you think about this year's combine, right? It was a lot of D linemen that ran 4.3s and 4.4s. Yeah. That's, like, from a mental standpoint, that's scary to think about somebody coming off the edge that fast.
6.4, 6.5, sitting around, like, 270, 280.
I really think they were on your pen for, like, a DN for the 40 to matter, but a D, like, a nose or –
those are a tackle.
Yeah, I don't think it really matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true.
But it is still interesting to see even the big guys like Quinnen Williams. I know he ran a 4.8 when he ran, so it's still interesting seeing the big guys move, you know what I'm saying, defying the nature because we ain't supposed to be moving like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, in with the injury part, I mean, on average, what, every single year in the combine, about at least at minimum 5 pull a hammy, and that's in any position.
That's true. Like, what event should take place? Like, Ken Shea, you said the 5-10-5. Like, do you think that would be, like, a good substitute?
Yeah, I think that would be a good substitute, especially for D-linemen, because, you know, we got to be able to change direction. Mm-hmm. So do O-linemen. So, yeah, I think that could possibly be a good substitute.
Absolutely. That's awesome. So we'll move on to the next topic. Ken Shea, what do you got for us?
What I got for y'all boys today, man, you know, music is a big part of what we do, man. We listen to music in the weight room, music playing before warm-up. So what I want to ask y'all is, what y'all bumping before the games, man? What y'all play to get y'all in that mood?
Back in my playing days, because, you know, my career's over now. So in my playing days, man, I ain't going to lie, I listen to anything that get me turned. Like, how I used to view the game before I go out there, either I'm gonna talk my stuff to the team, you know, we're gonna joke around, we're gonna play, we're gonna have fun. But when them headphones get on and I get on that field, I'm locked in. I need something to turn me up, brother. I'm ready for violence. I mean, we play a violent sport, right? Football ain't no pity pat and nothing like that. So I needed something to kind of get my mind, like I said, going to where I'm like, okay, I'm getting in that mode right now.
Is it the same way as being a coach also?
No. As a coach, I don't listen to any music to give me that turn.
Gotcha.
Because I got to be level-headed. I got to, you know, be able to make those rational decisions, those split-second decisions. I tell people all the time, as a coach, right, we think more. As players, we tell y'all not to think, right? So being a player, you do have that freedom to, you know, let your mind be free. But as a coach, I can't let my mind be free. I got too many things that I got to focus on and watch and make sure everything is in place for us to be successful that day.
Gotcha. Marlon, what do you think?
Well, for me, it really depends on the game I had before. Like, if I had a bad game, I would probably listen to some slow gospel music to humble myself. And if I'm feeling mad about the loss, I listen to some Chief Keef, whoever will give me crunk. But, yeah, depending on the last game.
Gotcha. That's awesome. I'm personally, I liked Pop Smoke a lot. I like Pop Smoke a lot.
Pete Pop, man.
Definitely, like, when it's just me out there, that's what I'm listening to. So, Jordan, let's take it over to you. What do you got for us?
Man, let's talk about lacrosse, man, right now. 4-year program. They're going, what, this is year 4 for them? Man, they went from winning, I think, on this, let's see, 2020, they went 0-5. Mm-hmm. 2021, they went 0-10. And then last year, I want to say they went 4-15 or 4-17 or something like that.
I know they had 4 wins.
Yeah.
The men's or the women's?
The men's. Right now, they're 5-2. Man, they got one of the best starts they have had since they've been here.
Mm-hmm. Last night, they won 20-4.
Yeah, something. And like some of their wins, they're winning convincingly. Like it ain't even close. Mm-hmm. And they already beat one team that was receiving votes. They lost to Rockhurst, who was also receiving votes by 1 goal.
Mm-hmm.
They lost
overtime,
to the
right?
Yep, in overtime. The number 19 team in the country, they lost to. That was a pretty kind of lopsided loss. And then this coming up week, I believe it is, they play the number 14 team in the nation.
They go to Florida, don't they? Don't they travel to Florida?
I think they do.
They go somewhere in Louisiana, and then they mm-hmm. go down to Florida and play for a week. They're there for like a week and a half, I think, they're saying.
I mean, that's amazing, fellas. Like, you know, sprint football, we had to start our year 1, right? I don't think people understand how hard it is to really build a program. And then once you build that program, get them to start winning. Because you got to think about all the other teams in your conference, and they already established. Some of them been around for decades, 2-3 decades already. So they got seniors and all this different stuff that play in the part, and you're just now starting to get your first class of seniors if they all stick around. That's the hardest part that a lot of people don't understand with new programs at the college level is keeping kids, the retention rate. That's the best way to put it, right? Being able to get that class to come back, then that next class to come back, then that next class to come back, right? Getting people to buy into a new program and feel like they're just like on any other level, right? The playing field is even.
So let's take a little turn then. So is it easier to start up a program and establish yourself, or like kind of having a losing culture and trying to build yourself up to a winning culture? What's, in your guys' opinion, what do you think is harder? Ken Shea?
I would definitely say trying to build up a losing program and trying to build it up to where you consistently winning, I think that's a tough part because most of the time it's not really the talent that's the problem. You got a lot of guys who could probably run 4-3s, 4-4s, got big guys who can move people. It's more so about how they approach the game. You know, like what we've been talking about lately in our leadership meetings, be process-driven, not result-oriented, meaning you should trust the process and not be so quick on, let's say if you want to hit 315 on the bench, you building it up instead of just throwing weight on there and not even be able to do it to your best potential.
Absolutely.
So I feel like starting from the bottom and trying to build it up is a little bit tougher because it's not even the players, it's how you approach it.
Mm-hmm.
Are you approaching the weight room the right way? You approaching running? Trying to do everything the best you could do. So I think that's the tough part.
Gotcha. Marlon?
Me, I can't really tell because they both hard to come up from. And coming from a losing program, I feel like guys get complacent with losing. But at the same time, they try to prove themselves. Same as a new program, they try to prove themselves too, come off the bat. So I can't really tell.
Gotcha.
Man, I don't know, Jordan. Man. I don't know because check this out.
You've been in the position of building up a new program. Have you been in the position of a losing program?
I have. Like, and it's crazy because – right, I'm going to go back to my playing days. So I played at Lincoln. Lincoln historically loses. But when I was there, we lost every game. That was kind of hard to really, like, mentally go back to your room or go be in front of your family after a game, after, like, week after week after week. Y'all just getting blown out, blown out, blown out, blown out. But then I leave, and then I go to Ottawa in Kansas, and now I'm playing for the second winningest program in NAIA history. Right, but
total,
then
total different turn.
Total different turn. Atmosphere was different. Culture was different. Right, practices was different. But then after I finished playing, now I come here to Quincy and start up a whole new program. So honestly, I think they about even, man. Because like Ken Shea said, man, you got so many things that you got to overcome in a losing culture.
Mm-hmm.
Same with a brand new program. Again, you don't got no seniors or no upperclassmen to teach the young guys, mm-hmm. right? It's up to the coaches to get those young guys mature enough, fast enough, mm-hmm. which I tell people all the time, for us in spring football, we didn't hit no maturity level, like, to where a majority of the players was like, okay, they're starting to think like upperclassmen until, like, after week four, going to week five, and we only had 7 weeks, 7 games. Mm-hmm. So it took damn near almost 4 or 5 weeks just for that. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. so it's like, I don't know. I've seen it from 3 different perspectives, man. I think it's about even, man. It's hard to build a team, and it's hard to change a losing culture into a winning culture.
I absolutely agree, and not only in football, like we talked about, but in all sports. So we'll kind of switch roads here and have some little fun. So who's going to win the NBA Finals? Marlon, what are you thinking?
I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't been watching no basketball, so I cannot tell you that. So, yeah. Kenshay?
There you go. Kenshay.
KD just joined the Suns, man. So, Suns. Suns and four.
You know what I'm saying? But KD just hurt his ankle yesterday or the other day.
He'll be back in time.
No, I don't know. They're saying he might miss the whole rest of the season.
Which one does the postseason start?
I want to say probably right late April. Maybe
late April,
because don't the play-in, they got the play-in tournament first, right?
Yeah.
So I think that might be late April.
Gotcha.
And then like May, they hitting the playoffs, like regular playoffs.
Gotcha.
I don't know. Basketball, I don't know. I mean, with all these different trades going on and people getting sent to new teams, super teams breaking up, I don't really know. I mean, I want to see an underdog because I'm tired of seeing the same people in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to see LeBron in the finals. No offense to any LeBron fans.
Ooh.
I don't want to see Steph and Klay and them in the finals no more. Man, I want to see somebody different. I just want mm-hmm. somebody, two different teams, to where you be like, ew, why are they playing each other in the finals? That's what I want
to
see.
I mean, the talent is spread it out this year, man, so it's going to be interesting to see. It ain't just one team dominating the league. It's talent all over, East and West, so it's going to be interesting to see, for sure.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Not only on the pro level, but also the collegiate level with March Madness starting up. I made a few brackets. Kind of excited about it. Have you guys made any brackets or anything?
I typically just like to watch the games, but I'm curious to see if, who is it, Duke?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're on the verge of not making it.
They're right there on the line.
So I want to know. That's very interesting to me. Like, if a blue blood doesn't make it, how will the world react?
That'd be the first time they didn't make it?
Or
just be the first time in a long time?
I think it'd be a long time. Well, ever since Coach K's time. I think they made it every single year when he was the coach, which he's gone now, so.
Which, I mean, kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Now the new coach has to go in and write in. That's something hard to follow in coaching when you come in after a Hall of Fame head coach.
Mm-hmm. And a winning culture.
Mm-hmm. Now y'all on the verge of not even making a tournament, and that's why I say I wonder how the world is going to react to it now. Mm-hmm. Because it was a winning tradition for the last, 15, 16 years? Because he coached for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So
you go from that to, okay, damn, now we barely about to make it. Ooh wee. I hate to be that crazy, fan base. Right?
That is crazy. All right, so let's take it back to QU Sports today. So for the Hawks, big time this weekend for baseball. They had a sweep against Northwood University. They won all 4 games, and something special happened in the second game. Austin Simpson had a 3-run home run walk off. That was big time. Yeah, I don't know if you guys watched the game.
Congratulations to that man. Congratulations. That's big time right there.
Big time players make big time plays, man.
Absolutely. Another big time player was Gino. Gino, he's the shortstop for the Hawks, and he's hitting around 600 right now. And had 3 home runs this weekend.
His batting average is around 600?
Just this weekend.
Oh, mm-hmm. I was about to say, boy, pitchers better watch out. He hitting 600.
Off to a great start. They're 8-3. So,
I mean, I can say this about the baseball team. Even before I came here, they've been well known. Mm-hmm. They've been consistently winning, consistently dominating, right? Consistently getting to the regionals and World Series and all that stuff. So, I'm not really shocked by them. about their consistency and how they've been.
I absolutely agree.
Like I mean, I went to a couple games last year. I haven't been yet. You know, I'm waiting till it get warm. I don't do the cold weather, brother. I don't do the cold weather. But the games that I went to last year, it was always exciting. Like you said, it was always something that was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Somebody made some type of history or pro scouts. I think the game I went to last year was a couple MLB teams there.
Yeah, they were looking at logins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's awesome to watch. I mean, even for y'all, you know, the D2 team here, right, with BJ and seeing all those different NFL head coaches walk in and out, man, that's amazing to see on campus. Mm-hmm. I don't know about y'all, but I like seeing stuff like that because that shows that different programs are putting guys at the next level, mm-hmm. giving them their shot, giving them their opportunity.
Gotcha. So to kind of talk about that, we'll talk about this. So, like, let's say you have the opportunity to play at the next level. Who are you guys picking? The team you want, team you love, who are you picking to play at the pro level?
If I could pick, man, I would love to play for my hometown. I'd love to play for the Bears, man, especially try to help rebuild them and get some more wins, bring a mm-hmm. Super Bowl. Me bringing a Super Bowl to my own city, I don't even know how that'll feel, man. I'd probably cry, and I don't even remember the last time I cried.
That'd be big time.
Yeah,
that'd be
so, awesome. Yeah.
Marlon, what are you thinking?
For me, I would go any team that would really want me. And it would be amazing to play for my home team, but any team that would want me, I would go there definitely.
Gotcha. Tell the 1,000 listeners where you're from, your hometown.
I was born in Chicago. I played football there for like 2 years and went to Florida. Some real football is that.
Ooh, real football.
Shots, huh?
A little bit.
Y'all boys just fast over there, man. Y'all don't play no real football.
That's because they down there chasing rabbits.
Y'all boys some 7-on-7 players, man.
I don't know if they changed it, but in Chicago, I think the first time you can play football, like, what, 8 years old? You start at 8. In Florida, you start at 5. So I think that's a major difference for any other states. Mm-hmm.
Learning the game earlier in your ages, absolutely. Jordan, what are you thinking? Opportunity right on the table. Shaking.
Playing, it really wouldn't matter. Whoever going to write that nice, good check, right? But coaching, if I had to coach, I would love to, and I hate saying this, and I'm glad this probably won't get back to my family, but I would enjoy coaching for the Chiefs only because I'm from Kansas City, mm-hmm. and I would love to coach at the high level in front of my family, especially gotcha. Because they are Chiefs fans.
Gotcha.
So being able to get them, you know, tickets to where they on the field watching the game, not in the stands or up in no box, they on the field type mm-hmm. thing, man, I would love that for them.
That's awesome, which that's kind of weird to hear since you're a Cowboys fan, right?
Yeah, I know. But I wouldn't want to coach for the Cowboys for a lot of different reasons.
Gotcha.
Like, I mean, it sounds bad, but if Jerry Jones is still the owner and I get an opportunity to coach for the Cowboys, mm-hmm. I'm not doing it.
Gotcha.
Because I already know how they roll.
That's awesome. All right, we'll take it one last question here. So, a little fun. What's, like, your breakfast of champions? The breakfast, if you're eating breakfast and just out of nowhere, what's a breakfast you want sitting in front of you when you wake up? We'll take it over to Marlon.
I probably have to go with the pancake breakfast sandwich. It recently went viral on Twitter, but me and my family been doing that for years. The pancake and the little eggs, bacon, make it as a sandwich for breakfast. Mm-hmm. We've been doing that. That's awesome.
Put a little syrup on top or anything like that? Or
probably a little bit of syrup. Not too much, though.
There you go.
You don't want to make it hella soggy.
Yeah, that's not good.
Ken Che, what are you thinking?
Man, when I was a shorty, man, it used to feel like heaven when I used to wake up and I had the pancake on the stick, man. Mm-hmm. That was crazy, man, on bro. I used to eat the whole box when I was a shorty. Now that I'm a little older, I'm a waffle guy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I wish, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of the same thing, but Aunt Jemima syrup, man, on bro. Yep.
That's awesome.
Didn't they change the name for that?
Yeah, it's kind of more generic now. They took off the front of it, man.
Well, see, I think I had some in my house, and it kind of tastes different just because it looked different.
Yeah, it tastes a little different.
Why are we talking about breakfast, bro?
Getting a little hungry now?
I am. Hey, have y'all ever seen, like, the clear syrup?
Mm-mm. Clear syrup?
Bro, yes. I was in the store the other day, bro. You know how, like, syrup is the regular color, like we all know. Mm-hmm. But they have clear syrup now. I always wonder, do people really buy that, or like, what's up with that?
What's the difference between clear syrup and
that must be extra sugar or something?
I don't know. I've never had it, and I'm scared to buy it because I'm not used to that.
You might have to buy it and bring it in for us, Jordan, the next episode.
Might have to.
Diabetes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird because I thought it wasn't even syrup. I thought it was just like some substitute for syrup, but no, it's actual syrup.
Yeah,
that's crazy. Yeah.
Clear syrup don't even sound safe, man.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it don't make me want. Like, it ain't gonna make me want the pancake or the waffle if I'm throwing a clear syrup on there, because you ain't gonna be able to see it slide down.
You know, mix in with the butter.
Come on, man.
You know what's up, man.
But for me though, I'm a big French toast guy. Anybody that can make some good French toast out here in the world.
French toast, actual toast or sticks?
Man, I like the toast. I'm talking about the, don't use the little wheat bread or Wonder Bread. Man, go get that Texas butter bread, you know, that thick bread right there. So when you cut it, you feel it, it feel like a pillow. And you, man, I love that French toast, man.
Sounds good. I have to go with cinnamon rolls. Cinnamon rolls are my favorite.
Definitely. Great choice, man.
For breakfast with the little white sugar stuff on the top?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You ever had
one of those?
Yeah, but not for breakfast. That's
really?
It's like more of a snack for me.
Really?
Cinnamon rolls.
Yeah.
For breakfast?
For breakfast with some sausage links.
I don't think I ever had it for breakfast in my lifetime.
You should try it.
Have you ever
had it? First time for everything, man.
Sure is. You ever had cinnamon rolls and chili?
No, I've heard that's a big thing, though.
Man, you got to try that. If you like cinnamon rolls, try it with the chili.
Chili?
Yeah.
Gotcha. I've always ate like grilled cheese with chili or something like that, but never cinnamon roll.
You try the cinnamon
roll. Is that like a southern thing, or is that just like,
I don't know.
Like a big thing?
I mean, I just grew up. That's how my household was. We ate the chili with the cinnamon rolls. We put the sugar on the spaghetti. Yeah, we did do, yeah.
Holy cow. Sounds good. Now I'm hungry. All right, we're going to end it here on the podcast. Thank you to all our guests. From Marlon Washington, Ken Che Brown, and Jordan Reddick, and I'm Andrew Lenzen. And thank you for listening to Hawk Talk. And this has been a production in the KU Media Podcast Network.